Welcome back to another episode, a little special episode. This one's named the home stretch for a reason, because we are coming down on the last three rounds here of pro motocross, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the final rounds end up breaking down. We got some news on Aaron Plessinger. He's going to be out for the last three rounds, so we know that for sure, at least. So we're going to do this show. We're going to do 450s, and then we're going to move on to 250s, and then we have some Motocross and Nations news, at least. Teasers, maybe, of who should be on the team. And some big Motocross Nation Team USA news, at least, that dropped last week. Speaking of last week, I was planning on having a show last week. I was about to start recording it, and I didn't like the outline that I had, so I scrapped it and redid it. Got a new outline for this show, so hopefully this one is a little bit more enjoyable than what could have potentially come out of last week. So starting off 450s, we got all the top guys to talk about. We got Jet, Chase, Eli, and the 96 of Hunter Lawrence. Looking overall at all of their entire season, Jet, we obviously know, has been just as dominant right now as he has his entire 450 career in points. He's up 61 points. So he is, barring anything crazy happening, he will be the winner of the championship this year. The returning champ, Chase Sexton, sadly missing that big chunk in the middle. Put a big ol' hurtin' on his opportunity to go back-to-back here in points. But sticking with Jet Lawrence here, it has been very, very impressive in my mind to see him come back from the ACL injury that he suffered in Supercross, and then just come back and be just as dominant as he's ever been. We know his one and only full season so far in pro motocross, he went completely undefeated, won every single moto. Obviously, that lets him win every single overall. This year, hasn't won every single moto, but almost has won every single overall. He's only lost one overall this year to the returning champ, Chase Sexton. I'm just, overall, Jet Lawrence, I'm very, very impressed with what he has been able to do and how fast he was able to start. I mean, coming out, going 1-1, very first race back, with as deep of a field as I think we've ever had. There is him, his brother, both coming back from injury. Eli Tomac also coming back from injury. Chase Sexton, your returning champ. Granted, he did go down three laps in, and that's what put him out for so long, but still, he was there. Justin Cooper coming back for his 450 motocross here. Not exactly sure why I said coming back, because he didn't get hurt. But RJ Hampshire making his debut. Aaron Plessinger, who really was a lot stronger last year than he is this year. So coming into this motocross season, thought maybe he would be a lot stronger. Now I feel like I'm just rambling on names. And I forget if I even said Jorge Prado, world champion a couple times over, was making his pro motocross debut. So we're going to rein it back in here on Jet Lawrence. He seems a lot smarter and a lot more mature this year than he was last year. Last year, what really kind of started the injury train for him a little bit on a 450 was he went for a big downhill jump that just wasn't possible to jump. They knocked down the lip of it to try and make it a little bit more safer. He thought he could still go for it. He went for it at Hangtown last year. Big injury. It seems like this year he's being a little bit smarter, but he still has all the speed in the world to make up plenty of time and plenty of passes. What else about old Jetson? He has had his little bit of struggles. Couple motos in a row, he was crashing on the first lap, but one of them in Red Bud Moto 2, he was able to come back for the win. So once again, just really, really shows the maturity of Jet Lawrence. And yeah, he's going to, in my mind, he's going to win the championship. Moving on to returning champion, Chase Sexton. I mentioned him a little bit ago, talking about everybody in the class. He struggled early, obviously going down a couple laps into the season is not ideal, and that just screwed him up. He went away for a while, very private, not saying anything on social media really about what happened. He said he was coming into the season with some injuries from Supercross, just some nagging things that he was having to deal with. And so that's part of the reason he took the big break off that he did take. And I was really excited to see him at Red Bud, because if you remember a couple years ago when he crashed, just after the first round, when Jet went perfect, so that was 2023, he crashed practice after the first round, came back to Red Bud, got a second place. Now granted, that field was much more depleted than what we have right now. I was excited to see how he would do in his first race at Red Bud. A little bit of a struggle, which I'm not super surprised that he struggled. What did surprise me a little bit was how much he struggled in Moto 1, but then Moto 2, he was able to come out firing on all cylinders. The one thing with Chase Sexton, it's his starts. We saw what happened in Washougal where he got his win. He was able to get starts, and that put him in a very good spot to win Moto 1 and then go out and get a second place in Moto 2 to get his first overall of this year, the one that Jet has lost. So Chase Sexton, he definitely left a lot out on the table for this motocross season. He did say he's putting a lot of effort into the SMX playoffs. So it'll be very interesting to see what he's able to do there. He hasn't been able to finish a series there either. He hasn't been able to finish that final moto the 2 years that it's gone on. And he's crashed out both times. So very, like I mentioned, he left a lot out there on the table on his last motocross season on a KTM. Once again, Chase Sexton, the worst kept secret in motocross is him switching teams. When he switched to KTM, it was not a very well kept secret. There it is. There's the grammar that we need. Not a very well kept secret. Now with him switching to Kawasaki, once again, not a very well kept secret. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's able to get one more championship on this KTM, which would be in the SMX playoffs. Now the guy that is taking his job at KTM, Eli Tomac. This was a little bit of a surprise to me this year. He came out hot in round one, was solid, and then he just had a very, very poor middle of the season, which, looking at the points, has basically cemented him in a fight with his teammate Justin Cooper, who will be brought up later in the show. Eli Tomac, it was weird. It seemed like it was back on his Kawasaki days. I know I talked about it in Supercross with Chase Sexton, how He can go out there, win all these races, and then he'll have like one or two weird rounds where he'll get seventh place. It kind of seemed like that was what was happening with Eli here. And he started off really strong, a lot better than honestly what I was expecting him to do. It's his first motocross season, full motocross season, in quite a few years since, I do believe, 2022, when him and Sexton went down to the very last lap, very last moto of the season to figure out a champion. So I was definitely expecting maybe a little bit more out of Eli. Didn't seem to get that, but then the last couple rounds we started to, especially Washougal, Eli Tomac took another big swing with the bike setup, and it really seemed to pay off this time. I know we mentioned they took a couple times they've taken big swings, and it just hasn't really paid off for him. It seemed like it did pay off for him in Washougal, though. So it's going to be very interesting to see if, when we get back to racing here this weekend, if he's taking yet another big swing with the bike, or if he's keeping it a little bit similar, not such a big swing. Obviously, you're always trying to get your bike better than the week before. But hey, he was riding very, very good in Washougal. I'm now looking at how long I've been recording and realize this is not going to be a very long show at all. It'll probably only be around 30 minutes or so, because we're cruising here. I feel like maybe I'm talking too fast. I don't know. I felt like I was moving in slow motion a little bit earlier, but now it feels like we might have gotten a little bit of it back here now. Moving on to our last quote-unquote top guys here in the 450s, that is the older Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence. I was very excited for him coming into this year, this entire season, Supercross and Motocross, because of how well he looked in Motocross last year. Last year, you could pretty much almost mark it down as Hunter's going to go out there, win Moto 1. Sexton's going to go out there, win Moto 2 and get the overall. Or it's going to go Sexton 1-1, Hunter 2-2. Hunter Lawrence just showed a lot and a lot of speed last year in Motocross. And then it sucked. He had that collarbone issue little broken collarbone. Jacked up shoulder and whatnot in Supercross, and I feel like that really set him back a lot. Now, granted, he is still number two in points behind his brother. I think if he came into this season came into this motocross season not coming off of that injury, I think that would have helped him out a lot, and I think he would have been able to been pushing for a couple more moto wins and an overall win. He has been very, very close this entire season. There's been quite a few times where he's been in that very familiar second place spot behind his brother Jet. And I guess we can kind of get a little bit into the points now. He's 61 points behind Jet Lawrence. So he's the only guy really with a shot. There's three rounds left, so there's 150 points left out on the table. I mean, granted, RJ Hampshire is still technically alive in the championship, but I don't see that exactly happening. So in my mind, Hunter is really the only realistic guy out there who has a chance at this championship, and I think the only way that happens is if we see the immature version of Jet Lawrence go out there and push too hard, which honestly we haven't really seen since his first couple years on a 250, outside of maybe that one mistake last year in Hangtown that caused him that overall. And Eli Tomac is 94 points down. So once again, he's basically out of it as well. Chase Sexton, the last of our top guys isn't even in the championship picture. I do have Sexton in the top guys portion of this podcast just because he's the only guy out there who has gone out and won a moto besides the top three in points with Jet, Hunter, and Eli Tomac. So that is why Chase Sexton is in the top guys of the 450 class. Now, we do got some guys who, two guys in specifically here that I have who could surprise us. And that is, first off, the 32 of Justin Cooper. He is very, very familiar with that podium now, moto podiums especially. When he can get a start, he shows that he can run the speed. He did have the big crash in Millville, which I think he will take the... He will have the biggest advantage of this break than maybe anybody else, because we saw Millville and Washougal, he really just kind of struggled dealing with that. I think it was a little bit of a shoulder issue that he was dealing with. So I definitely think he can go out there. He will get on the podium again. There's not a 0% chance he doesn't go out there and win a moto, even though I know they do have Unadilla on the schedule still, the New York race. So the New York kid might go up there to Unadilla and do something special. And the last guy here on the who could surprise us is, it would be a very big surprise, but it is Jorge Prado, the world champion a couple times over, like I mentioned earlier. He has been struggling unlike anybody else has been struggling, and he has been blaming everybody else except himself. He says he's looking for more speed in the bike, says he needs more comfort on the bike. Chad Reed has supposedly ridden the bike and says you're not getting it any faster. I've also heard that if he's looking for the same type of speed and comfort that he was getting on his Austrian brand bikes over in the GP series, he's just not going to get that with the manufacturer rule that is over here in the AMA, where you have to have, you can't go outside the box really. You got to stay in the box in terms of bike changes and kind of customization and tweaks and whatnot. So he's a good starter, yes. His problem is once he gets the good start, he just seems to constantly fade and fade and fade. And he even did it in Southwick where he got the good start. He crashed and then he faded. Even when he didn't crash, he still faded in Southwick. So that is why he is the last guy on the who could surprise us list, the last 450 guy we will be talking about here, except for, I know I mentioned a little bit ago that Aaron Plessinger is out for the last three rounds. Said he got a lot of tests done. I can't remember the flipping name of the test. Yikes, I thought it started with an E. I think I got it, but I also don't know if I got it. I think it's the Epstein test, and I'm not saying anything, but I don't think you want to be testing positive on an Epstein test. That's all we'll say about that. I think that'll wrap us up here for the 450s, and now we can jump into the 250s, where starting it off, Hayden Deegan just today signed a contract extension to stay with Star Racing, Yamaha, Monster Energy, whatever order that goes in, you know who I'm talking about, where he will be defending, well, hasn't been announced, but I'm assuming he will be defending his 250 Supercross Championship next year. The only thing that's been announced is that he is doing 250 Supercross next year, and will make his full 450 debut next pro motocross season. There's also been there's been reports from Jason Wygant that he will be lining up on a 450 to end the season. If he if he clinches the championship early, then Brian Deegan, Hayden's dad, came out and said that's not true. So who knows exactly what is true and what isn't in that situation. I've heard a lot of people talk about it where it wouldn't make sense, especially now with the SMX playoffs. Wouldn't really make sense to put him on a 450 for one race to kind of jeopardize that injury on a 450 when he's just got to go back to a 250 for the SMX playoffs. But also, he's in really, I don't really think he can lose in that scenario if he goes up to a 450. And if he goes up there and does good, then you could say he kind of backed up his talk. But if he goes out there and gets absolutely shellacked by all of them, then you can say, what are you expecting? He's a 250 guy. But focusing on what has happened already this 250 pro motocross season, he really hasn't had too much competition. There's been a couple outliers with Joe Shimoda winning a couple races, Jeremy Martin going out there winning a moto in his, well, winning his last moto. Chance Hymus went out there and won one as well before getting injured, who we will talk about him a little bit later. Yeah, Hayden Deegan, he hasn't really been running his mouth like normal. He's done it a little bit in the beginning of the season when Chance Hymus was still healthy. And once Hymus went out, it seemed like the mouth on Hayden Deegan kind of closed up a little bit. But not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about racing. And obviously a little bit of that because he gives us that as well. Hayden Deegan, not too much to say about him, to be honest. He goes out there, sometimes he makes dumb, stupid mistakes, and sometimes he goes out there and he wins by 30 seconds. It's really, honestly, just kind of a coin flip at this point. Just like the 450s, I think he's got a big enough lead where, unless it'll take something crazy or catastrophic or whatnot for him to lose that points lead. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how he kind of changes his mindset on the races and stops going from wants to win every race to championship. Because there was the report where once he lost the overall to Chance Hymus, that really irritated him, I guess, and he wanted to go out there and win every race after that, and he just hasn't done that because Joe Shimoda's won two of them. But I digress. Look at me using big words. And honestly, I think that is that's really it on Hayden Deegan. There's not too much to talk about. Our next guy, Joe Shimoda. I originally had three guys on this list, and I think I'm making an impromptu switch to two guys here in the top guys. It's really just Hayden Deegan and Joe Shimoda, especially of late. Shimoda's been able to consistently put more pressure on Hayden Deegan and consistently be the only one who can put that more pressure on Hayden Deegan. So I guess the championship is down to Hayden Deegan and Joe Shimoda. There's no other way to put it. The next closest guy, Garrett Marchbanks, in points. He's 116 back. Joe Shimoda, like I just mentioned, is 45 points back. I had it in my head, but I was like, wait, is it still 45? Or did they run a race in the last minute and a half and change that up on me? No, they didn't. It's still 45. Honestly, Joe Shimoda, man, I don't know. Joe Shimoda kind of scrambles my brain sometimes. You expect him to start a series slow like normal, then he goes out there and wins Anaheim 1. So then you're like, hey, maybe he's no longer a slow starter for series. And then Hayden Deegan's able to go out there and just go 1-1 and round one. And you're like, well, maybe Joe Shimoda's still maybe a little bit of a slow series starter. But it did go, I think, for the first two rounds. I know for at least for the first two rounds, it went Deegan went 1-1 in both of them, and Shimoda went 2-2 in both of them. So he's consistently been there all year, but it just took him, I think, just a little bit too long to kind of to crack that surface and get a moto win and an overall win. And the big problem with Joe Shimoda is when he goes out there and gets an overall win, usually it's him going, well, the one time it was he went 1-1 at Red Bud. Deegan really struggled with a bunch of crashes that day. But his other overall win, it went 2-1 for Shimoda and 1-2 for Deegan. So technically, yes, Shimoda did get the overall win, but he wasn't able to make up any points on him, obviously, with them having the same amount of points. So kind of hard to make up points when you guys get the same amount of points. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Joe Shimoda after this break. You gotta assume that he's hungry, and it's basically he needs to go out there and just win out, get a little bit of help, a little bit of luck, whatever you want to call it. Bikes break all the time in motocross, so it's not a not a guaranteed no that it doesn't happen. There's a solid chance it can happen. But like I said, he will need a little bit of help to get back into the championship. And the last guy that I kind of cut out of the top guys was Levi Kitchen. I originally had him in the top guys just because, especially with coming into the season, you would expect to see him up there a little bit more. And he just really hasn't. It seems like he'll either struggle big time or he'll go and he'll just get like third place. So Levi Kitchen's he's been really difficult to read overall and try to predict or get a handle on what he might be doing that very next race. I mean, sometimes it's even moto to moto with him. I know, especially Washougal, he has always struggled there. I know I talked about that in the Washougal recap. So yeah, that's Levi Kitchen. He was in the top guys, basically, essentially still is, because he is the very next guy I talked about. But I don't think he's really in the top guys anymore. Injuries and struggles. I don't really have a who could surprise us thing here for the 250s, just basically because I don't think there really will be anybody to surprise us. I think our overall winners for the last three rounds will continue to be Hayden Deegan or Joe Shimoda, and I think they will be the guys that go out there and continue to win all the motos as well. Injuries and struggles, we have starting off with Chance Hymus. Goes out there, gets an overall win. Back-to-back years with an overall win for Chance Hymus, and then back-to-back years where he has to cut the season short. So really, really sucks for Chance Hymus. Seems like he can have the speed and potential to do it. It's just he hasn't had the health on his side to do it as well. So really looking forward to getting him back at the races. honestly, now, right now, in my head, I'm kind of questioning why I did this whole thing, especially throwing Chance Hymus in this, because the one main guy when I thought of this topic was the next guy. The only other guy in this little category here would be Tom Vielle. He struggled all year long. And I don't know if it's because maybe he's already looking forward slash back to Europe. If the contract talks maybe are getting to his head. I know Ian Harrison for Red Bull KTM said they offered him a contract, and that's really all they got so far. They haven't really gotten anything back from him. There's been rumors that he's going back to the MXGP series and racing a 450 over there for Honda. So I really have no clue exactly what could be going on with Tom Vielle. Obviously, just a little old podcast here, so I can't really get any guests or crazy inside information that, to be honest, you guys can't get, but I look for damn near everything I can to try and give you a little bit something that you might have missed. I think the problem with Tom Vielle is I just kind of talked myself into this, where I think it truly is a contract slash big life decision on his hands of, he's already uprooted everything from Europe, brought it over to the States, and now there's a chance that he's got to uproot everything from the States, and he's heading back to Europe. So you got to assume they're human, that is playing a little bit in his head. But man, he can win races. He can be in championships. He's got championship pedigree. He's got two MX2 world titles in the MXGP series. He's got two Supercross championships. He knows how to win championships. He can get starts. It's just, it's a little Prado-ish, except this time it took 2-3 years instead of 2-3 races for Vielle, unlike Jorge Prado, or as James Stewart calls him most of the season, George Prado, because we ain't got the real Jorge out here. We got George, I guess. Motocross of Nations. Obviously, it's going to be at Ironman this year. Team USA has very well reportedly, from the riders' mouths themselves, offered it to Chase Sexton, who said he would be in. Hayden Deegan, who I don't think there really was a clear answer from. And Eli Tomac said he got offered before Millville, and then he went out there and sucked at Millville and said he will accept it if he thinks he's still one of the best options, which looks like he's going to be accepting it, because we saw what he did at Washougal, and I don't really think Team USA has any other option besides maybe Justin Cooper. Team USA is pretty, I think, set in stone. And the big news for Team USA was Roger DeCoster. The one thing I think that could kind of maybe shake some things up is Roger DeCoster has stepped down as the team manager for Team USA for the Motocross of Nations. I haven't seen who they will replace him with. It's going to be very, very interesting. I'm pretty sure Mike Pelletier of the AMA was on the SMX Insider show, and they did an interview with them. I'm sure they talked about it. I haven't had the chance to listen to it yet. I'm actually going to do that right after Well, not right after, but I will be doing that before the end of the day. So yeah, very, very interested to see who will be replacing the legendary Roger DeCoster as the Team USA team manager. Team USA's easily biggest and most difficult opponent in the Motocross of Nations. Last year's winners. No surprise, the Lawrence brothers are in on it. Team Australia, I guess they are bringing back their entire team. Well, not their entire team, but the same three riders that won it last year will be making their way to Ironman for the Motocross of Nations this year. So that's obviously something of note. Figured I'd throw it in here because the news did break. I think it was last week it broke. And obviously I didn't have an episode last week. Had one 2 weeks ago. Came out after my last one. So I know last year I said I would be doing a Motocross Nations show. I am unsure of what I will be doing for Motocross Nations this year. So yeah, only time will tell with that, I guess. And only time will tell with the rest of this motocross season. We got three rounds left. Very, very excited. I will be watching Ironman this weekend on Sunday because doing an old golf outing on Saturday. So I won't be able to watch it Saturday, but I will be watching it Sunday. And I will be putting out a podcast next week for a recap, as always. Talking _moto on X. Go give it a follow, retweet, like, comment, all the fun stuff that I always say at the end of these. And yeah, we will be back next week, thankfully, talking about racing once again. Talking _moto on X. See ya.